Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jasaris Love Show. I am Cynthia Jahi of the Jasaris Love Show, and I am so excited and honored and grateful to again be here with you, my wonderful, wonderful listening audience. I want to first give thanks to the Creator for waking me up for another day. I am thankful. I am also thankful for my husband for setting up this show. It is Home-Based Business 101, a part of the Home-Based Business 101 platform, in which you can hear his show. His name is Baba Jahi, and you can hear him on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can hear Miss Victoria Falk every Monday at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, New York travel business. Also, again, I'm excited and thankful for the listening audience. You've been out here hanging with us for several years. There's several thousand of you. And we are thankful that you take the time to listen to our show. We're thankful for those of you who hear it live, as well as those people who take the time to listen to us in the archives. As you know, my show today is a continuation on peace. And I know for some people you're probably saying, my goodness, there's a lot of time being spent on this topic of peace. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we're here talking about peace because peace is a work to, it takes work to really attain peace. A lot of it has to do with our level of awareness, if, again, we're even aware of the fact of whether or not we are in a peaceful situation, peaceful attitudes, peaceful environment, if we are choosing peaceful people to spend time with, if we are living on purpose, if we are born in a situation that may or may not be conducive to peace. That's pretty rough for some people, because the truth of the matter is we're all not born in peaceful situations. We do not always have the opportunity to wake up in a peaceful household, wake up in a comfortable bed. Right now as I speak, there are people who are waking up to someone that's cussing and fussing at them. They're waking up to a lot of bugs and insects, and that can destroy your peace. There may be a child, unfortunately, living in a roach or mouse-infested house, and they may be like, wow, my peace is very disrupted. And there may be various reasons for that. There may be a person who's living somewhere where bombs are falling all around you. And it's pretty hard to conceptualize peace when there's bombs falling and you're being terrorized. Pretty hard for the Trayvon Martin family to have had peace when they immediately got the news of their child. It's hard to have peace at that moment. It's hard for people to have a sense of peace when they're in the middle of these hurricanes and these wildfires and floods and things like that. It's hard to have peace, you know, any of the people who have experienced any type of brutality or terror, whether it's from police brutality, whether it's your neighbors, some unknown forces, some gang. It's everything can have an effect on whether you have peace, and that's why I'm working diligently to help and to talk about getting that inner peace and then allowing it to flow out. There have been people who have been prisoners, and there have been people who have been prisoners of war. And in the midst of trying to survive in their situations, they had to find some kind of peace. And it has to do with our minds. And I've been talking about this topic for several weeks. It has to do with our minds. There are people who go to work every day and they work somewhere where there's a boss that's just leaning on them, not physically, but mentally, constantly, nonstop. Have you gotten this done yet? Have you done this yet? Have you gotten this done yet? When are you going to do this here? As a matter of fact, I can recall an experience that I had on a job that I once worked on, a couple of jobs actually, where a person tried to disrupt my peace. And it's funny because I really wasn't aware of peace like I am now. But I just was not going to allow them to disrupt my positive attitudes, positive vibe, feeling good, feeling happy, feeling as though I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Matter of fact, knowing that I was doing what I was supposed to do. And however it happens, whenever it happens, it's bad when, you know, people in authority want to disrupt your peace. So this particular job, I never forget, I worked a night shift on this job, and I worked 12 to 8 in the morning. And I had spent the evening making sure that all of the equipment that we were using was in top, you know, order, that I had to fill a lot of vending machines. I had them all filled with paper and ink and whatever they needed to have filled with, you know, with. And I made sure all the shelves were stocked. I had even done an extra bathroom duty, making sure the restrooms were clean. This was one of those jobs where you do a little bit of everything, okay? You dust shelves, you wipe windows, you make sure the place is kept clean and neat, and you make sure that the office is set. And I remember this supervisor coming in the morning. Her time was 8 o'clock, and I'm getting off at around 8. So I think she came in maybe 7:30. Yeah, 7 o'clock. She came in about 7, and I'm getting off at 8. And at that precise moment that she walked in, I didn't have a customer. I was standing there ready to greet the next customer. Everything was done. So I guess you could say I had like a 6 minutes where really there was nothing that I had to do but be prepared for customers. The area was clean. And a customer came up behind her, though. So when she came in, the customer was right there. And she says to me, "You don't have anything to do?" She didn't say good morning. She didn't say, you know, "How was your evening?" She says, "You're standing around with nothing to do. Cynthia, you're standing around with nothing to do. What's wrong with you?" And, of course, you know, I didn't like that. And I looked at her and I said to her, "Good morning. What happened to good morning? Is there some reason why you could not say good morning?" Then I know I could have had a lot of different answers. Everybody started going, "Well, I would have said this." I would have, "That's what I said." And she said, "Well, you don't look like," I said, "well, maybe that's the way it looks." I said, "But this is not the time to talk about it because I have a customer right behind you." I said, "I'm going to take care of my customer." She says, "Well, I want to see you when you get off work." I said, "That's fine. That's the best time to see me. Actually, before I get off work, so I can get paid for that meeting that we're going to have." So I took care of the customer. I went to meet this lady who, you know, she felt like she was the boss. And she went into her little tirade about whether she thought I was working or not working. I went into my still about what was your problem that you came in, and instead of you standing back observing to see how things were, you're taking an assessment and then saying good morning and then maybe asking me. So I asked her to look in her file. I said, "In your file, there are a couple of things. It's a question that you asked me, and you said you were going to place it in my answer in your file." And in the file, when she went to look for it, there was this question, and it said, "What is a couple of things that you assholes will not tolerate on your job?" And it said disrespect. I said, "You see right there where it says disrespect?" I said, "I don't tolerate that." So I said, "You came in, and you were very disrespectful. You disrespected me." I said, "I don't tolerate that." I said, "So you owe me an apology?" I said, "I'm going to write that up." And that's what I did. And eventually I left that job. But I continued to finish that, you know, few minutes of work, and I made sure she was clear on, you know, how I felt about what was going on. And on the inside of me, I had all kinds of things I really wanted to do, which I can't say. Because some people, when they have authority, and this could be someone of any color, and she happened to be white, though, specifically she was white, is that we lose it. We're just supposed to be a manager, just directing to make sure that things get done right. There's nothing in the managerial, I guess you could say, the way you're supposed to manage, that says that you need to be nasty to employees, that you need to be inconsiderate, or you need to make yourself look stupid by not taking an assessment of the situation to see if the person has actually did what they were supposed to do anyway. Because had she come in and not had an attitude. Maybe she had a bad night or something. I really don't know what her situation was. But she had come in more professional. She could have come in and realized that, wow, all the machines of papers are stacked. I wonder who did that. Could have asked. Would have found out it was me. Could have seen that the restroom was clean, which usually it was not. She would have seen that my customers have, you know, were taken care of. We were running whatever I had to run as far as my machinery was concerned. It's called, you know, making an assessment. And that's part of what managers need to do. Instead of bringing chaos and confusion into a workplace, again, environment. I'm talking about the environment. So, again, I want to take a few seconds to say welcome to the Jasari's Love Show. I am Cynthia Williams Jahi, and my show is Jasari's Love. Jasari means audacious and bold, and, of course, the word is love. It takes a lot of work to be aware and then to implement all of these things, and we have to work on it on a daily, continuous basis. How do we allow our love to flow, our peace to flow, our internal peace to flow outwardly? And one of the things I can say about that is that it's not always a sweet love. Sometimes we have to bring a tough love to the situation. That's another whole topic, which I'll address that in a couple of weeks. But the main thing is your peace, your inner peace, so that you can function, so that you can think, so that you can think and have a calmness even though all hell may have broken loose. And that does happen in everyday life. All hell breaks loose. How do you keep your composure? Because when you lose it, it doesn't get you anywhere. It could get you into more trouble. It could make the situation 10 times worse. So all those things, you know, have to be taken into consideration as we think about allowing our inner peace to flow outwardly and to allow to make a situation as calm and as peaceful as we possibly can. I remember years ago, one of my children over at, like, Rodnell High Culture Center, he decided that he wanted to jump a fence. And that's what boys do. They jump fences. So I wasn't upset about that. Although I always told them, I said, you know, don't jump the fence. Just walk around. I had different reasons, you know. You don't want them to do all these different things because they could get hurt or could get their clothes snagged on something. It's the reasons. But anyway, being a boy, he jumped the fence over by the playground. I was not outside with him at the time. He was outside with other adult instructors and youth workers. So a youth worker ran across the street to let me know that this child had fallen. You know, I didn't know how he fell. He jumped the fence. So you could hear him probably three long blocks away. My neck, oh, God, my neck is broken. Oh, my neck is broken. He's yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs. So I rushed over there to check on him, and as he lay there on the ground, you know, asked him, could he move his arms, and he could move his arms, so I said, okay, 9 times out of 10, his neck's not broken, but he's hurt something. So, of course, we'd already called 911. That's immediate. You call 911, you know, child's laying down, he feels like he can't move, he feels like something in his neck is broke or hurt. I'm not a doctor, I don't know what it is. But I also said to him, take a deep breath and calm down. The whole time I was going over there, I was saying, remain calm. So you see what you're dealing with. And I'm telling myself, I have to remain calm because I'm the adult, right? I'm the adult in charge. And if the calmer I am, everyone else is going to be calm. Not that I was feeling calm on the inside. I was like, oh, on the inside, I was screaming like, oh, my goodness, what happened? How is this child? How bad is he? Is there going to be blood? I mean, yeah, that's what I'm thinking on the inside. So it's funny how you can have two thoughts going on. Talk about your brain multitasking. My brain is multitasking. You have to be calm. But at the same time, I'm really wondering, what is his condition? What did he break? Is it a leg? Is it an arm? Is it his neck? Oh, my God, what if he did? What if he busted his head open? I don't know until I get there because, you know, if you get a report comes in, these stories, you know, could be sensationalized or could be the actual fact that he broke something. They don't know what he broke. But he's screaming at the top of his lungs that he broke his neck. And every neighbor and everybody in the community is out there thinking that child in that program has what broke his neck. So I was able to calm him down. That was a big thing. And by me being calm, he actually did calm down. I said, calm down. Because when you calm down, I can find out what's going on. And when the doctors get here or the paramedics get here, they're going to be better able to help you. And it's hard when someone is in pain and their child, or anybody, I guess, is in pain. And I guess he felt a little guilty because he had jumped that fence and it wasn't supposed to. But that was not important at that moment. The important thing was to get him calm so we could figure out just how bad this was. So when the paramedics came, they had him do his arm thing and turn his face from side to side. They said, well, it's not his neck, it's not broke because he wouldn't be able to move it. Everyone is relieved. Of course, I was relieved. I knew it wasn't broke because I had already asked him to do a couple of things also. And from there, he was taken up with the paramedics. I always go with my children when something happens to them. And this was a child at the camp, was one of the children I was left in charge with. So I went with him. And we didn't always have something happen. I think in the 14, 15 years we ran that camp, we had two children that had to go to the hospital. One got overheated. And this particular case where the child had hurt himself. So there we are at the doctor's office, and lo and behold, it was his collarbone. Thank God, you know, it wasn't anything any worse. So there I am sitting there and keeping him calm, and the doctors are talking to me and waiting for his parents. And here come these parents, and they're walking straight here. They've got like a real definite stride. You can see what appeared to me as anger in their faces, and they're looking like they're looking right at me. And when they get right to us, within a foot of us, they say, boy, didn't we tell you to be careful this year? Every year you break something. Now you broke your collarbone. Last year was your leg. Why did you jump that fence? They weren't mad at me. They were mad at him because every year he seemed like he breaks something. And, hey, he's a boy, and he was pretty active, physically active child. So whether, you know, he was down to probably break something, even if he was doing something he was supposed to do, like play baseball, because he was a very physically involved athlete anyway. So, and athletes have injuries. They hurt their ankles. You know, there's a pulled hamstring. There's a pulled gluteus muscle. You name it, something happened. But so he was being himself, and they weren't angry at me at all. As a matter of fact, they were so happy that I had gotten him to the hospital as quickly as possible and that they had been contacted. And all of that is done with, you know, peace and prayer. I didn't say there was not any worry or concern. There was worry and concern, but I didn't give him any of that. I gave him peace by saying, take a deep breath, calm down, lower your voice. When you lower your voice, stop yelling, it's easier for me to help you. And somehow God has enabled me to be able to reach for that peace and not scream when something happens, unless I'm screaming for help. I have had that situation, you know. And there are some moments when you don't always know how to do what you have to do. But whenever something happens, it's very important to pull in that peace so that, let's say you have to make a 911 call, you have to have enough control, self-control and peace and belief that you, whatever your action is going to be a helpful action and that your action is important. So therefore, you're able to give the 911 dispatcher the address, tell them the situation. And that's why that being able to be as calm as you possibly can is helpful because they have to understand what's going on and where to go. Even in the most horrific situations, you know, it's like they have to know how to get to you to help you. Where are you located? I think nowadays they have a lot of GPS stuff, so the address probably pops right up. Or they can find your location on a cell phone, but they need to have an idea of what are they running into, rushing into, walking into, you know. So as much as we can give information in a peaceful way, pulling in your inner peace, that self-talk that you're having to yourself, and that self-talk is, I've got to calm down. I've got to take a deep breath.
I can't expect the worst. I've just got to pray through this here. In your inner mind, that's what you're doing, utilizing that as much as you can, considering whatever the situation is, and the situation can be just too much. It can just be off the chart. You know, just imagine the young lady who was sitting there watching her boyfriend get shot. That's off the chart. She can't even call to get help. All she could do is her daughter actually gave her peace. Can you imagine that? A little child between 3 and 5 years of age, I think the child was 5. The 5-year-old, God blessed her to be able to give her mother peace, because somehow or another, I guess because she was 5 and didn't know the whole understanding, what she knew her dad had been shot, you know, and she knew something bad had happened. But somehow that child had enough peace in her to be able to calm her mother. Wow. That we saw that, all of us who've seen that video, we saw that a child, calm her mom. And that is absolutely, that's just, you know, wow, that was phenomenal that she could do that. She could calm her mom. And so we as the adults have got to find the way in the midst of this craziness to bring in, breathe in, and think on how can I bring peace to the situation. I remember some years ago, there was a young lady running for office here in Baltimore, and the rivalry organization was coming to make a lot of noise, to have a loud rally outside of, or come inside, or be as close to where we could hear them, so they could maybe be louder than what we would have been. And we were at in our building at the Culture Center in Baltimore. And before this loud group of people came, the opposing group came, it was really kind of funny, I just did what we normally do at our Culture Center. We did a unity circle. It's called an Ngugu Sabatang, and we use the 7 principles. And we talk about unity and peace and Kuji Chagalere, self-determination, Imani faith. And so I had the politician and the people who were thinking about voting for her from the community that were there, and I guess it was about 60 people in the circle. I had them to form a circle. I said, you know what, let's start off with a circle, and we can do a prayer in this circle, and then from there we can just, you know, go around and have say who we are and then go from there for more positive things. So we could hear this group of people coming while we were in the midst of this union circle. And we had been in it, I guess, about 8 minutes or so. And they're getting louder and louder because they're getting closer and closer. And we're getting more intensely into what we're doing because then, you know, when you're in a union circle, you begin to focus in with the circle. It's a circle, so everything's closed in. And when they finally got to the door, told them they could go ahead and open the door and scoop in. And I'm going to tell you what happened, because the Creator is just so powerful. As they came in and saw what was going on, because the circle continued, the conversation, the prayers, the Ngunzu Saba, the whatever we were working on, the critical Ujima, you know, any of those, or near purpose, or could have been this topic of working together in our community, or making our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and working to solve them together. And we were getting into these topics and answer, and the politician, the young lady who was running for office, who at the time was actually a lawyer, was answering questions. And we kept that going. And we acknowledged, she said, good afternoon, welcome. We're in the midst of this here. If you could hold on for a few minutes and we'll be with you. And they just dissolved. They just didn't even address whatever it is they came to address. They just came and kind of stood there, and they stopped that loudness that they had brought, the chanting, that loud chanting that they had, you know, for the politician that they wanted to keep in office. And the peace of the unity circle, the Ngunzu Saba circle, overpowered their confusion, their need to cause confusion and to be upsetting. And they just melted into what we were doing and ended up that they said, we apologize for coming at this time. We have a couple of questions for you. And what she did was she actually answered the questions, and they left. They left. The questions got answered. It may not be to their satisfaction, but they left quietly. Now, from a political point of view, we would say they left with their tail between the legs. Of course, we laughed, you know. But on a spiritual note, we understood what happened, that the peace and the unity that we had was stronger than the chaos and the confusion and the meanness that they were trying to bring to us. And so that's why whatever you do to have peace, you have to continue to practice it, so that it flows outwardly and it affects any and everything that you're doing and even things that you're not doing. For example, I was in line the other day at, I can't remember, let me think, I was at the Dollar Tree, yeah. And the customer in front of me had a little 5 or 6 year old girl with her, and they only had one person at the register, at a register. There was no one else. They had 4 of the register. They were all closed. And the person at the register had to blow up balloons for the customer that was up there. And this lady went on to say, this time of the day, you need to have more people at this register. And that person, you should have somebody else up there blowing up the balloons, because you're going to lose customers. Well, a gentleman heard that. And where he might have been trying to hang on for maybe 5 more minutes, he looked at this lady that was causing all this confusion, and it worked. He left. He said he left his cart right there in line, and he left. And he said, you're right, I've got to go to work. And this is, you know, ridiculous. But now the person that was blowing the balloons continued to do what they had to do, and someone came and relieved them. I do not know who the manager was. I've seen the manager, but I didn't recognize the person that I had seen as the manager that usually is there at that time. And I did not see anybody with the, they usually have a little badge on it that says manager, and they have their names and manager. So I couldn't identify who in the world was this manager. And why did she have like 4 or 5 employees stocking shelves and just one on the register? But it wasn't any reason to cause a riot. You know what I mean? You know, it's a way of doing everything. And when we cause unnecessary confusion because it's already we're disturbed about something, you know, what is her goal? Was the goal to make the Dollar Tree lose money that day? You know, and I was looking at who was working at the store at the time. You know, you have young, probably high school. Well, I guess you have to be at least 18 to work at the Dollar Tree. I don't know for sure. I know I had those kind of jobs when I was 16 or 17. You know, this is a young person at the register, probably just their first week there. Why disturb that person's peace or try to? And here's a woman who clearly looked like she was in her 40s or 50s. Why are you so disruptive? So then she's smirking, of course. See what I mean? You know, guy left, you know. He left. Then she, when she got in line, she had more confusion because she didn't separate the items, but she wanted certain things to be wrapped a certain way or put in the bag a certain way. But she put the bread and the dough soap together, you know. So, you know, she had separated, the lady would have probably paid more attention. A lot of young people don't know these things. Unfortunately, some of these schools are not training them. Do not put the soap with the bread. You know, most of us old school people, we got it. We know it. Keep your soaps and your detergents. Anything that's going to cause your food to smell like soap. Nobody wants their bread to smell like soap. Nobody wants their chicken to smell like soap or taste like that because it had that smell in it. But they're not getting that training. But there's a way. That's what I'm talking about. If you have an ounce of peace, it's a good time to bring it out. You know, excuse me, as you put my items in the bag, I want to make sure that the soap is separate from any of the other foods so I'll make sure this is separate. You know, we can do that ourselves, but we have to have it in us. So I didn't participate in that, and the lady was squirming. She kept looking back at me, wanting a reaction from me, and I simply was peaceful. I did not engage her in conversation because I could already see she was riled up. And, you know, I thought of a couple things, so maybe I could say something peaceful, but then another part of it was like, no, she's not interested in peace. She's really already revved up for an argument. So silence. So when she looked back at me, she didn't get anybody feeding into to encourage her to continue to attack the people at the store and to encourage the other people to leave their merchandise. And the lady that was getting the balloons, there were a couple of other ladies with her, but she didn't even know that. She was getting these things because she was having a cookout for some children who were a needy type of thing. These were, I think there were people that, I can't remember what the young lady said, the lady at the register said, what are you buying these different items for? And she said, I'm having a cookout because we have children with disabilities, and we're having a cookout for them. See, so she wasn't even being considerate of the customer who needed the balloons and the other things she was buying for the party that they were giving for these children who had different disabilities. So, you know, a lot of unnecessary confusion that can hurt a lot of different people a lot of different ways. And what I did do when I got to the register, I did smile at the person that was working there. I said, hello, how are you? I want to wish you a good day. Continue doing as well. And they said, thank you. And they knew, you know, what that was from. But they kept like a poker face, right? And I think on the inside, I think it was a young man. I think he was saying on the inside, Lord, I'm glad that other lady left. I hope nobody else is going to give me a hard morning. Because he was just there to run the register and do whatever his duties were. And one of them was, when a customer wants a balloon, to go and get the balloons. Because everybody in the store is a customer. The one that's mad because you can't get through the line fast enough, as well as the one who needed the 10 balloons. So the piece is important in knowing the entire picture. What is the ecosystem? The ecosystem was the store, with customers and employees, merchandise, you know, being bought, money being exchanged, currency, a flow of energy. And we want the energy to be as positive as possible, as positive as possible. Again, I'm going to take a second and do a little commercial break. This is the Just Stars Love Show. We're talking about peace, and we're talking about how do you let your inner peace flow outwardly. First of all, consciousness. The Just Stars Love Show is part of Home-Based Business 101, which was created by Baba Jahi. And you can catch him on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking about Home-Based 101. He'll talk about tax strategies, to also talk about how to have a nonprofit, why you may want to have a nonprofit, and your business plan. Why, if you have a home-based business, it is imperative that you have a business plan. So catch him in archives, Home-Based Business 101, Baba Jahi. Also on Mondays at 3 o'clock, you can catch Victoria Falk at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I should have said, if hers is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, and it's on travel. All of us are travel agents. We have our own businesses. And I have a quick gift for you, so make sure you write this down because I have a giveaway, and this is for you to be able to use this continuous coupon. About 85 to 95% of the time, this will save you money. Like any coupon, sometimes you might find one that you know, may do something different, but give this one a try. It's www.my, that's M-Y, Vortex, that's V-O-R-T-X, 365.com/ M as in movement, U as in unlimited, group, M-U group, G-R-O-U-P, okay, T as in paper, G-R-O-U-P, M-U group. And if you need more information, just text me at 252-406-0774, or you can find me on Facebook under Cynthia Jahi. Okay, so just wanted to again do that, and again thank all our listeners out there for your patience. Again, the topic of peace. The peace topic is taking, I'm taking my time on it because it takes time to get this feeling of peace out there so that more and more people can choose more peaceful ways of handling situations and how they make it through a situation and how they are, you know, within yourself. You're driving in your car and it's your car. You don't want to disturb other people and you want to pay attention to how you're driving. I've been driving quite a bit lately. I've been coming down from North Carolina, coming from North Carolina up to the Baltimore area, and having to pay attention to the road, having to pay attention to a lot of different things, so that I don't need to be a part of road rage or anything like that. Your peace, trying your best to, again, pay attention to what you were doing. And even with that, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to stay in the realm of peace. It's a realm. It's a place to be when you're in a place of peace. And how do you, again, share that, let it flow outwardly to the people that are within your, they can hear your voice, like the lady in the store. They can hear anything having to do with you. So I'm riding along and someone has their music blasting, and let's say, you know, a lot of times it's a lot of cursing and all that in it. But whatever it is, it's disturbing my peace because I'm not trying to hear whatever someone else is playing. And another thing I think that the person doesn't understand is that they can't even hear the fire truck that's right behind them. You see? And so, again, causing a lot of confusion. Fire truck can't get by. The person in the car can't hear because they just hear whatever they're playing, not paying attention. A lot of drivers on the road now have chosen, and I don't know what this is from, but they're choosing to pass you in places where there's no passing, like on curves. There's no passing on a curve. Where they see the double line, they're passing. So my answer to that is to try to stay as far away from these people. Let them get past you. Slow down so they can be way down the road, so that you can be away from that confusion. 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10, don't say anything to these people. I don't know where they are spiritually. They're in a rush. And usually you end up at the same red light they're going to end up, or the same stop sign. But let them get ahead of you so they can go wherever they're trying to go, so they can keep that confusion within them and it doesn't have to have any effect on your being, you know, on who you are. Again, your peace, bringing your peace with you and sharing it. Yesterday, my sister and I, we attended a going away for the mother of the pastor to the church where my sister attends. And the whole idea I know that my sister had in mind was, well, she's a part of that congregation, and she wanted to show love and show peace by attending this funeral. And, of course, my mom and I to go to visit with her to this church, so we went. But that was another way of allowing your peace and your love to flow. By showing up and being there for someone who is important in your life and who shares their peace and their love, that's Pastor Walter Thomas. He's a very loving person. I don't know him personally, but I do know him from him being in the pulpit and from attending events and services at New Psalmist Baptist Church located in Baltimore, Maryland. And his mother obviously was a lady of courage and a lady of peace and love. And that is very important because when someone is doing your obituary and your eulogy and they get to talking about you, you notice that people have a tendency Just saying a few things about that person's childhood, if they really didn't have a lot going on in their life, or you don't know anything about that person. So you just say, you know, he went to Belmont Elementary School, and he was a fine father. And it ended with that, you know. But, well, she was a fine mother. But in this particular case of his mother, Mrs. Lillian Elizabeth Thomas, they had videos and pictures of him sitting beside his mother and his brother, Calvin, and their children, all of her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. They showed them celebrating life together. They showed them breaking bread together at Christmases and, I guess, Thanksgivings and Fourth of July celebrations. They showed them at church programs together. They showed her pictures of her, I guess, people she had taught. She had been tutoring. She did substitute teaching, and she belonged to an organization, I believe they were called the Contemporaries. They were women who were advocates for the community, the betterment of the community. And several people got up and were able to, I think a good 20 people at least, the young people as well as her peers and other pastors, spoke specifically about service that she had rendered to the various churches. The church that we were at was New Shallow, which is over there near Mondawmin, not too far from Mondawmin, near Douglas High School, 2100 block of Monroe, I believe. And that was awesome, because what this lady showed was how she allowed her peaceful ways to flow and spill out amongst everyone that she was near, be it her husband that she was married to and for over 59 years until he departed and went on to God, and her sons, her other relatives, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, the people who she tutored, some of them got up there, the people that she mentored, some of them spoke, the women that work with her as part of the deaconess board. You know, people can choose to say a little, to be nice. People can choose to say nothing so that they don't say the wrong thing. Or people can help but speak about you when they have a long list of beautiful things to say. They're bursting at the seams. And they were bursting at the seams to say all of the wonderful things that they could say to this woman who, I believe, she was 97, I believe. She was born in 1919. She was born in 1919 in Virginia. They had so much to say about her life and all of the people that she was so helpful to and so much of a mentor to and so kind to. But someone can say that you put a smile on people's faces when you walk into a room or when they engage with you, that's a beautiful thing, that you are always doing something to uplift someone. And when one after another people get up and say it, that says a lot. When someone is young, as they didn't really have young people speak, you know, I think the youngest person was in their 20s, I believe, a grandson, spoke on behalf of the younger grandchildren, can say with a smile on their face, you know, just thinking about it, they're just reminiscing, thinking about how sweet their grandmother was. That says a lot. And when a bishop probably can't even say what on the agenda wanted to say something about his mother, how magnificent she was, how sweet she was, how dear she was, how peaceful, how kind, how thoughtful, how encouraging, how mindful, how uplifting, how courteous, how persistent to help them achieve something they needed to get done, how courageous, how dependable she was. Dependable. You know? There were all these adjectives. She was dependable. If something needed to be done, she got it done. You know, if you were in doubt, she had encouragement. She was persistent, but she was sweetly persistent. You know, colorful. Coming over and eating, I guess, in her house. All of the things that they did, that she did. So here's an example. What is somebody going to write about me? What is somebody going to write about you when that trumpet gets played and we're on our way to that other place? Is it going to be, whether they show up at the funeral or not, will they be sitting around their living room saying, wow, what a wonderful person this was, how you brought peace and love and how you could be calming and how you could be, a good mentor or whatever it is. Everybody has something different that they bring to the table. But the number one thing is, did you bring love? Did you bring peace? Could they look back and say, man, you know, the time, you know, something was happening, she gave me peace. She, you know, brought a peaceful, a calmness to the situation. Honesty and integrity. But along with that, because you bring honesty, that doesn't mean it brings peace. You know, honesty can be brutal, right? But can you deliver it in a peaceful way? So those are some of the things that I wanted to share today and get ready to close out in a few minutes. This is the Just Started Love Show, and we're just talking about simplistically talking about peace, your everyday life. You know, we made it through this winter without people fighting over those parking spaces. And North Carolina, I don't have to worry about that because, you know, there's plenty of space. But Baltimore, it's a different story. People, you know, they shovel out their parking space and then they hover over it and they put chairs in that space. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you shovel out a space, why you can't have that space? I think the only people that have problems with it are the people who don't ever want to shovel out a space and then they want your space. And they tend to cause confusion and chaos. And they, you know, they want to bring the law. The law says all this land is, anybody could use the space. But that's just being mean and trifling, you know. In a perfect world, which we don't have at the moment, but we can surely work together. And that's another topic I want to kind of break up. Time those of us who practice peace and who want peace, we come across people who are like, well, it's not a perfect world. You want a utopia? And we can't get it. There is nothing that is impossible. All things are possible when we work towards it. All things are possible. It is possible to attain peace across the board. Is it work? Yeah. You know? Does it take a lot of creativity, a lot of prayer, a lot of work, a lot of practice of peace? You are right. Because of fear, because of lies, because of misunderstanding, because of something that someone did to someone that was horrific and they can't get over it for whatever reason, because it was horrific, then it makes it more challenging to get groups of people to come together and have forgiveness, especially if the opposing person is going to do something again. And so that's where, you know, the problem, you know, comes in. We always say, you know, presidents of countries or prime ministers of countries feel as though they want to fight, and we know that it's usually some businesses or lobbyists or somebody behind all this. Put them in the arena with the boxing gloves and duke it out, because most of the lay people in the world, most of the people that they're the president or the prime minister over really want peace. They want peace. There's not a mother out here who's lost a child at a war who wanted to lose their child for any reason, even if that person was being brave. They want that loved one to return home. They want peace. They don't want bombs being dropped in their country. They don't. There may be some propaganda out here from different places from around the world, for different reasons. Again, because there's so many distortions, so many lies, so many hundreds of years of lies and disinformation that people live in fear. They live in fear because not only were they given them bad information, but the opposing group was given bad information. And it's generational bad information. It may have started out as the truth, but then somebody added some yeast to it, right? And really made somebody angry. Well, the truth was never told. You have a group of people who are constantly trying to get the truth out. This is what happened. I was there. They may not know why it happened, but they know what happened. And so it's a constant chaos and confusion that peacemakers have to try to work through and work over and get through to get to peace. And forgiveness comes in there too. And humbleness comes in there. And then it's just downright getting people who are so hostile to stop being so hostile. And that's just a whole nother, I mean, you could just pour love over everything. There was a syrup called love, and you could pour it on stuff, and it could ease into all the cracks and everything and membranes and, okay, you know, and cause people to melt into peace. That would be great. But in this world, it is the differences that makes it so interesting. But with the differences, if we could have differences but live in peace. Be different, but let's bring peace. Think differently, but bring peace and be peace. That's a challenge because it all depends on what that difference is. It can be like, whoa, wow, you know. Your difference is kind of like big, brother, okay? Because different cultures do things sometimes very, very differently. And it goes against the grain of what another group of people can or are willing to, I guess, put up with, because it may be something that a group of people may just do once a year. Maybe somebody slaughters a lamb once a year for something, but the people that's near them go, oh, that's gross, that's terrible, it makes no sense to me, oh, my God. But for the people that do it, it made perfectly good sense, they just do it once a year. Finding a way to work through these major, major differences. And, of course, some practices are just bad practices. You know, we just believe that all women should have certain rights, the right to education, the right to speak, the right to think. But there are cultures that don't believe that. And so, therefore, when we come together, there is discourse and there is disagreement, and then there is a breakdown in peace. And it's hard because that's a definite battle. I'm a woman, and I would like for all women to have the right to speak up and to be able to eat what they really want to eat as long as it's healthy, and to drive a car or drive or walk someplace that they really want to walk, as long as it's safe. But then we're interfering in other people's culture, so it gets to be real sticky. And I definitely don't have the answer to it all. If I did, wow, I sure would be a, I don't know what I'd be if I had those answers. But whatever we do, and whoever you are, if you could just take a moment and ask yourself, is what I am trying to do going to generate peace? Is it a win-win for everyone and everything, including animals and plants? This fracking that's going to go on, it's going to be disruptive to the peace of the land, to the animals in the oceans and the seas. Is what I'm about to say or do, is that going to be harmonious? Is it going to be peaceful for everything and everyone that it will affect? This is Cynthia Jahi of the Just Started Love Show signing off. I want to thank you. I'm going to look forward to hearing from you. Just hit me up on Facebook, Cynthia Jahi, J-A-H-I, Cynthia with a C. Or you can contact me at 252-406-0774. Just text me at that number. And don't forget your gift, vortex365.com/MU Group. Okay. Catch you next week. In the meantime, listen out for Baba Jahi at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, every Sunday, Victoria Falls. Every Monday at 3 o'clock in the evening, Eastern Standard Time, Home-Based Business 101 platform. Thank you so much. Have a peaceful, loving, consciously peaceful, harmonious on your end. Starts with you, man in the mirror, starts with you, weekend. Thank you.